Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
But I'm sure that some of us did not get a lot of the outcome that we voted for. There are some things I know I didn't get that I voted for that I wish would have come true. But beginning in January, we're going to have new leadership in our White House.
Yeah.
And I think we're all glad for that.
Yeah.
And so the one thing that we need to remember is that, yes, things look brighter. There's a freedom in the air. I think, I don't know if you feel it, but I do. There's a whole difference in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that this is there, but regardless of who is in that White House, we know who we look up to, right? Regardless of who's there, regardless of who we have chosen or not, those that have not chosen, we look to God for our leadership. And so this is the time. It's not like we can just sit back now and kick back and just watch it happen. This is a time where our prayers are to be a lot more in the lines of what our godly values are. There's a lot of things that need to take place in these next few years. So don't just take a break. Now your work starts, okay? Pray for your leaders, regardless of whether they have an R or a D in front of them. Pray for your leaders. But know who our real leader is, okay? So one of the things that I also wanted to bring up today is that tomorrow is a Veterans Day. And is there anyone here that is a veteran? Would you please stand? Would you please stand up? Robert, you're a veteran? You're a veteran? Okay, two. There's another veteran over here. Rick's over there. I'll tell you what, you know, regardless of what branch of the service you were in, you are the ones that have made possible for us to sit here today in whatever capacity you served in. And so we do, not only as a church, but as a nation, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for those times that maybe, for some of you, maybe you had kids that you had to leave at home so you could go out there and do your duty. So once again, thank you to all of you for your service, and amen for you. So if you would stand with me now, and we're going to pray. Father God, I do thank you, Lord, for the freedom, Lord, that you bless this nation with. We thank you, Lord, that you love this nation. And we do thank you for those that served in our armed forces in some capacity, Lord, that that they have made this possible. We thank you, Lord, that we look to you for direction, Lord. Help each one of us. Give us our tasks for the next few years, Lord. What do you want us to do as individuals? What are you asking for us to do as a church body? Lord, keep our eyes, our ears, of our heart open, Lord, to hear what you have. We ask that you would bless, Lord, every person, Lord, that has reached out to you during this time. And those, Lord, that have not gotten their wish, Lord, may you open up their eyes, Lord, to see the truth, Lord. Help them to see the values that you have in store, Lord, in this nation, in this world. So we bless what you're doing, Lord, not only in our nation, but in each one of us. We thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're...
Yeah, praise God. You know, he says that we are created new, a new creature. So what you were the day before you got born again and the day after was completely different.
Yes. Thank
now
you.
We have God's word in our heart. Now we hear it and understand it. Now we see it and comprehend.
Amen.
Amen. It says that the world cannot see these things because they're spiritual. But we understand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us.
You know, as we're singing this song, you can see where God wants to bless each one of us. He not only wants to bless those that are sitting here today, He wants to bless our families. He wants to bless even those that aren't here yet. There's some grandkids and great-grandkids that are coming. And it's the generations that He wants to bless. And I want to read out of Philippians. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard against your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is Paul saying, God hears our prayers. God hears the concerns of our hearts. And He wants us to come before Him with those concerns. He wants to bless us, not only as an individual, but as a nation, as a church. So, your prayers have been heard. Not just on this election, but prayers for other things that you've come in. He's hearing them, and He will answer them. When we receive that, that's up to Him, right? It's up to us, too, where we are. So just continue to stand strong. Have that peace. Rest that He is doing something. He has heard your prayer. Your prayers are like incense going into the heavens. So stand strong in there. Be at peace with whatever you're asking for. Whatever maybe hasn't come true, it's coming. It's there. Trust in Him. Okay? Thank you.
Praise God.
All right. If you change your mind, the mic's over here.
Oh, hallelujah. Hey. Yeah, if you change your mind, just let me know. I'll stop my message. Amen. Praise God. Ooh, how many are just glad of what's going on in the world today, in our country? I would say, hey, man, you know, hey, I thank God. I really believe God had mercy on us. Because our nation has been kind of backwards for a while. And, you know, hey, this is not a place where we talk politics, all right? But government is a gift from God. How many know that? Government is a thing that God has given to the earth, given to mankind, given to His people. If you look in 1 Corinthians, I think it might be chapter 12, you're going to see that God, the word government shows up where it talks about pastors, teachers, evangelists, and it says helps and governments. Hallelujah. So we're not politics, folks. I'm not a politician. He's amen. He says a good thing, Hank. You never get any votes. Yeah. Hallelujah. But God, I believe, I mean, I've been asking God, God, show me government, God. Show me government. Government looks like the kingdom of God. It's what God's placing in the earth. Do you understand that? Is that cool? God's bringing his kingdom into the earth. We've been praying. Is that right? Thy kingdom come, God. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. I didn't know what I was praying when I was back before I understood that verse. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. I don't know. It was just part of the rosary. I shouldn't say that, I guess. But that's what, I mean, I didn't understand it. But boy, do I understand it now. I'm looking for the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I mean, can I tell you that Jesus is, he's unchangeable is what it says in Hebrews. It's an unchanging kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Ooh. And he's an unchanging God. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad God doesn't change?
Amen.
Well, boy, I'm glad. Because he says he's a merciful God. Is that right?
Yes.
But he could smack me one minute, and then if he was a changing God. Sometimes we think that, I don't know, somehow it seems like religion has kind of figured out that, you know, God wants to smack us. I mean, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it seems like God is trying, you know, the way we've been taught with religion, it feels like God, you know, Jesus saved us from God. No, man. He came to show us who we are in God. I mean, look at your neighbor and said, God in your skin. Isn't that a weird statement? God in your skin. That's what he's done if you believe in Christ. If you have accepted him as your Savior, you received him, old things passed away, brand new, God in your skin. Can you say amen to that? That's a term you got to use all week. Is that okay? God in your skin. God in my skin. God, you're in my skin. Amen? Yeah, come on, man. You ever had somebody get under your skin? My wife is going, oh, yeah. Well, praise God. God wants us to know that there are more things for us than what we even understand. Can you say amen? The Word of God is the best. I mean, it is the only book that is alive. And it opens things up to you that you never expected. Can you say amen to that? Because the Holy Spirit has got a job for us today.
Yes.
You guys are stopping already? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. God, the Holy Spirit, is his job is to build us and strengthen us and make us look more like who?
Him.
Him.
Amen.
Jesus. He, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Holy Spirit's job is to draw that out of you. Is that okay? And help you to walk in that. Is that okay? Because God has things that he has for us that are probably limited by our imagination. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We limit God by our imagination and what we think. But God is saying, I'm going way past what you think. Then the words say that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Amen? That, I mean, there isn't a place where you can attain to his ways. Is that okay?
Yes.
God is sent. God has sent his Spirit in the earth. Jesus sent his Spirit to bring us the highway. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's a highway or the highway. Get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. It's the highway. Is that right? Praise God. Well, today we're going to talk about the, if you look at your bulletin, it should say law versus law.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
There are laws and then there's laws. Is that okay? And God is a kingdom of laws. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So there are things that are lawful in the kingdom and there are things that are very unlawful in this kingdom. Can you say amen to that?
Yep.
Yeah. And the scriptures pretty much teach us that thing, that this is what God has done. In order to keep us straight, he had to send Moses and give Moses what we call the law. Is that right? Okay?
Yeah.
He gave Moses the law because man needed some kind of order. Is that okay? Can I tell you the law keeps order?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Law keeps order. Just remember that, okay? Because there's going to be a lot of people out there, well, I'm not under the law. I am under, yeah, well, let me tell you, you got to be under some kind of a law. Is that right? Amen. How many of you know that gravity is a law?
Yep.
There's a law of gravity. There's a law of inertia. You're running around too fast. Just when I said that, I remembered there was, they used to tell us, don't run anywhere on this mine. That mine up there, all the floors are steel grating. You can see right through it. I remember taking my wife and my daughter in there, and we come out of the elevator, and I'm just used to it. They come out, and they look down, and they froze. They didn't realize how high they were, because you could see down, you know, way up there, and it's kind of weird. And I'm, you know, I didn't even, but they tell us, don't run on that grating, whatever you do. Well, I was in a hurry, and the grating was wet, and I got rubber boots on, and I'm, man, I thought I'm being pretty cool, and I, and man, my feet went out, and I realized why they had a rule, don't run on the grating. No matter where you're at, you're going to need some kind of a law. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at that today. How many know the law is good?
Yeah.
The law is good. How many know we need policemen?
Yeah.
How many know that? Come on, man. Steve's son-in-law is a sheriff. He says, oh, yeah, we need them folks, man. We need policemen. We need the National Guard. We need all these. We need the military. And thank God for all of you that have been in the military. We thank God for you guys. Just your presence in the kingdom of God. I mean, well, just your presence in an event that where they call out the Army or the Navy, whoever those people are, just their presence is fearful to a lot of countries. How many of you know that? And I thank God that we I thank God for the men and women that have served in order to keep the freedoms of this country.
Yeah.
And part of, listen, folks, and part of that freedom is the freedom to speak something.
Yes.
It's freedom of speech. Freedom of, you know, to do what you want to do. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Those freedoms are purchased by people that serve in the military.
Yes. Yeah.
And we thank God for them.
Amen.
I realized that Rachel wasn't able to stand up when she came in, but she was in the military. Is that right? Yeah. But if I know anything, things are changing, folks.
Yeah.
This country is looked at, for the last few years, it's been looked at that it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
That we're like a chicken with its head cut off, not really knowing where to go, what to do. But that's not that way anymore. We've got an administration, folks, today that I believe is going to lead a group of people that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about what it costs for eggs. I'm not worried, because I have a God that says I will provide your needs.
Amen.
I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. But people that don't know the Lord need to know the Lord. And I believe God's given us mercy,
yes,
that we might speak and they might see the kingdom of God in action. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Who can? I better get to my message. Ooh. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit says, all right, shut up now. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, turn in your Bibles. This message is called Law versus Law. And starting in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, this is what the Word of God says right here. Father, I just thank you for your Word. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would quicken your Word into our hearts, Father God. Even if it's, your Word says, you said, Jesus, that every jot and every tittle is what your Word says, will be fulfilled. So, Lord, even the way the words are on the page, Lord, there's something to them that we might not be seeing when we look at them, Father God. Let us not look, Father, at your word like we already know it. Father, let us come as children before you. Teach us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Look at this verse. It says, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "Oh, I will." How do you like that? I like the Lord who said, "Oh, I will."
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be opened to you." Oh, he will. Yeah. Says, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. Testimony to what? Testimony to the law. Because there was a law that man, whenever somebody was clean from leprosy, it had to be declared by a priest that he was clean. Do you know that? The Old Testament law said that they're going to take him, they're going to put him in quarantine, if you will, for a week. And then they're going to look at him. And they're going to say, "Okay, let's give you another week." And they'll throw him in there. And this was the law. It's what the law of Moses said to do with the leprous man that had been clear, that had been healed. So it was a law. So he tells this guy, go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony. So he sent them to the priest to do what the law said he had to do. Is that okay? All right, so here we go. And then, if you will, we're going to go to Luke chapter 17, verses 19 through 11. And I love this story. And when the Lord brought it up to me last night, I go, "Oh, yeah, I like preaching on this." Well, you're going to preach on a little different, so shut up. All right, okay, so, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers. Which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." Come on. Don't you think the Lord loves stuff like that? "Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He didn't have to get close to him. Is that right? How many know Jesus didn't have to touch him? But all he had to do is speak to them. Is that right?
Yes.
And he says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass as they went, they were what?
Cleansed.
All right. Is that okay? Is that cool? That, you know, hey, just obey him. And you watch what happens. But they were obeying him. But then something else says, I love this part. He says, and one of them, how many, everybody say one. Just one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice. Ooh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
He glorified God and fell down on his feet, on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Hey, weren't there 10 clean? Were there not 10 clean?" How many know that Jesus knew that all of them got cleansed?
Right.
He knew it. But where are the rest? Where's the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this one guy.
Wow.
Now, this man was a leper. Right? Oh, God. I love this part. He was a leper. The law said that he had to go show himself to the priest. But how many of you know he was standing before the great high priest?
Amen.
The Melchizedek, if you will. He was standing before the priest of priests. Is that okay? Woo! And then this is what Jesus says. He says, and Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." What just happened? What happened? His 9 buddies were locked up for probably a couple of weeks while they looked at him. But he was free. Why? What did that? It was a heart event. He went back to, how many know this is a month of Thanksgiving? And you know, I mean, I know Wednesday morning, I was giving Thanksgiving, and my neighbor, who never calls or texts me in the mornings, real early in the morning, he said, "Oh, it's a great day today. We have won." You know, I said,
"Yeah, we have
won." I mean, you know, we've got a better thing that we think is happening. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Better things. I mean, like better things. There, Jesus, this man, this leper had stepped into a better thing. Is that okay? Look at your friend, look at your neighbor right next to you, say better thing. Better listen. Say it this way, better listen. It's a better thing. Yeah, it's a better thing. Hallelujah. I'll talk about what just happened. It's something better. It's a Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says this. Look at this. For so much as was Jesus made a surety of a what? Better covenant. How many of you know that we're in a better covenant?
Amen.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, we have been given something that is so powerful to us. For folks, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that kind of spend their time looking at the law and all this, all those things. We're in a better covenant. The covenant we're in, I mean, you know, listen, I don't know how to say this except that sometimes there's people that just spend all of their time looking at the Jewish law and the Jewish things. And let me tell you, folks, God has brought us into a better covenant. It is better. And this is what the word of God so much is. Jesus was made the surety or a guarantee. That word surety means a guarantee. How many like guarantees? Oh, I guarantee you that if I say something to you, I'm going to do it. Guaranteed that this is a better testament. Is that right? Yeah. That's what it says. Jesus is made the guarantee. Oh, bro. Oh, boy. I mean, it's one thing for me to guarantee something, but for when Jesus guarantees it, what do you think of that? When Jesus guarantees you something better, this is something better. You got to understand that it's better. 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 Do we sing songs that better? Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but somehow it flows up. Anyway, so Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says this. Check this out. But now he has obtained a more and excellent ministry, by how much also he is the, talking about Jesus, how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Everybody say better covenant. Better covenant. It's better than the law. Folks, we're talking about law versus law. He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon what's called better promises. These promises that God has given us. There's a scripture, and man, you know, I don't know where it's at. He has given us better promises than what we've ever had before. How many of you know that? How many of you like promises from God? Well, I promise you, God promised me a house.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling Rosie, God promised me a house. And look, babe, we're not going to be living in an old mobile home anymore. We're going to have cement floors. Is that right? I've said that before. We're going to have cement floors. We're going to have real walls. You know, I'm going to get out of this mobile home. Yeah, whatever. And then God said, no, this is the house, this one here. This is the house I promised you. I said, what? I can't live here, God. Yeah. Better promises. Better promises. I don't know about you, but I'm into better promises.
Amen.
And the promises, if I can tell you this, I like better promises. You like better promises?
Yes.
But the more you stay in the word, the promises get better. Is that okay? The promises get better. You begin to see more when you stay in the Word of God. You begin to understand more when you stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Can I say that to you? You know, there's millions of people have written books. There's millions of books written. Is that right? But I will tell you, there's only one book that's going to open things up to you. Can you say amen to that? It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. He will hear a little, there a little. Precept over here, begin to build this vision within your heart, if you will. Can you say amen? How many of you know we need vision?
Amen.
How many of you know we got to know what we're doing? Is that right?
Yeah.
We got to see what God sees. Is that okay?
Yeah.
God has sent his son to reveal you to you. Is that okay? He's trying to reveal you. You've always been known by God, but he knows you in a different way than what we might be walking. Can you say amen to that? He wants the Holy Spirit to reveal you to you. Oh, boy, I love that. I love it. Yeah. I was asking Rosie this morning. I said, hey, babe, do you think we're doing what God has called us to do? She goes, well, I believe so. I mean, you know, he hasn't said for us to do anything else. Folks, hey, he had to reveal to me what he had for me. Rosie told me, I think he wants you to pastor. I told her, shut up. I don't know how. I got no idea what to do with that. And she told me again, I told you to be quiet about that. But when a pastor prophesied to me and says, you are not a minor, you're a pastor, it hit me like an arrow. It was like the third. How many of you know by two or three witnesses, everything will be established? This was a third witness in my, but it came in a fiery, flaming word to me. You're a pastor. I said, man, I don't know what I don't know how that can be, Lord. Past your imagination, God wants to reveal you to you. That's why you need to stay in the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you stay in the Word of God. That's why it's important that you go after God and God only. Don't let anybody lead your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you into all truth, and you will be set. Can I say amen? Can you say amen to that? God will set you in a place. He calls it a firm foundation. Jesus is a foundation that cannot be moved. It is an unmovable foundation, and he's setting it up in the earth. Can you say amen? It's happening. More and more people are realizing this is my call. This is where I stand. Is that okay? Woo. Better covenant, better promises, and the promises keep getting better.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 says it like this. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
No condemnation to them that walk what? After the Spirit. This is something the church really needs to get a hold of. Walk as the Spirit leads you. Walk. Is that okay? Amen? All right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the, here it is, law versus law. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Do you see that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Which one do you want to live in? Which one are you living in? Are you living in a place where when Jesus died for your sins, he washed them away? Forever. Can you say amen?
Forever
he washed them away. Can you picture that God knows the end from the beginning? And so he knows every little thing that you're going to do. And he paid for it. Woo! And his mercy is great upon us. Can you say amen to that? Because sometimes we have little habitual things that we step into. Is that right? Does anybody ever? Sometimes, you know, I have the habit of eating tacos a lot. Habitual things. It's a good thing that tacos isn't sin. Chicken tacos, he says. Yeah. But we have these habitual things that we step into that I'm not talking about eating tacos, but I'm talking about things, and you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We have these things, and God is saying, look, I've sent my Spirit to get you out of these things. He's going to use my word. Is that right? Because Jesus is the Savior of the earth. Can you say amen to that? He's the only one. There ain't no other Savior. If you're looking for a Savior in a church, Jesus is the only Savior, folks. Amen. And he sends his Spirit to work with you, to walk with you, and even lead you and guide you into everything that he wants for you. Is that okay?
Amen.
And he wants you to be released from the law of the law of sin and death. That's Mosaic law.
Yep.
Because Jesus fulfilled that law. Is that right? Amen. How many know that? Jesus fulfilled that law. Can I tell you that you cannot get into the throne of God without a garment? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God, by his Spirit, provides you a garment. It's called his Spirit. That's how you get into the kingdom of God. That's how you get into the presence of God, by his Spirit. I will tell you, folks, I am... Thank you, Mary, because you're going to be she's going to be teaching on the Holy Ghost. I am a Holy Ghost man. Is that right? I love the Holy Spirit. I believe that he is the one that is teaching the church today. I believe he's the one that we better listen to. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's
by his Spirit.
By his Spirit. Everything is by his Spirit. Huh. You can't get into the presence of God with sin in your life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Here's the thing. You need. Here's what maybe a lot of folks miss. Your sin has been washed away. Mm-hmm. Even the one that you did 3 hours ago, it's been washed. It's already washed. You have the Spirit of God that gets you into the presence of God, so the presence of God can speak to your spirit so that you can stand and say, God, I just don't want to do that again. How many ever been there? How many ever been there? You go over and over and you do it and do it and do it. And then, God, I'm tired of doing it. I'm tired of saying this. But God, know this, that God says, and that's not sin to you. It's just something I'm going to take you through. It is a transgression. It is. But your sins have been washed away because he knew that that was going to happen before the foundation of the earth. So he's provided a way for you to get into his presence. It's called Jesus and his Spirit. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
These are invisible things, things that God wants us to be very confident of, and he wants you to be confident that you need to walk in the law of the Spirit and not in the law of sin and death.
Right.
Because the law of sin and death will just take you there.
Yeah.
But if you walk in the law of the Spirit, it's going to take you someplace else. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I don't know, some of you might be saying, you're confusing me here, you're confusing me here. So the Spirit of God is not a spirit of confusion. How many say amen to that? If I've left you, if you're thinking, I don't get that, and you know what? Ask God. Ask him to show you. See, because all I know is that he tells me stuff, and there's been stuff that he's told me, and I've said, Lord, I don't know. Is that you saying these things? Because that feels weird. We don't talk like that, Lord. But if I take it to him, he'll begin to show me things that he wants for the body of Christ. Is that okay? Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me
free
from the law of
sin and death.
So a lot of folks are, you know, they're free for a while and they go back to the law of sin and death. Oh, I've sinned. No, you haven't. And they understand and they go back to being free in the Spirit, and then they go back. They go back and forth, back and forth. Spend their time going back and forth, back and forth. How many of you know that those are mindsets? God wants our mindset to be confident and free in what he's told us. I love it. The Bible says in James that a man that wavers is unstable in all his ways. There's an instability in it. And God wants you stable. Can you say amen to that? Amen. He wants you on a foundation that holds you. Is that okay? And you need to realize what God is saying to you. He says it not only to us, but to all. You know, sometimes I understand it. But then we turn around and tell somebody that's different, that's contrary. Can I tell you something? That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We say, well, I'm free. I've been made free. And then you see a brother and a sister, and they say, bro, that's sin. You can't do that. Shut up. Can you say amen? Maybe I'm losing you with this, but the fact of the matter is that God says you're free, and he wants you walking in the Spirit. Is that okay? Check this out. I'm going to keep reading here. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, did what? Condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God sent his son in the likeness of flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What's that talking about? It's talking about the transfer of sin from you to him. The transfer happened. And it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Is that okay?
Yes.
So you see, it was a transfer. When you believed in Jesus, the righteousness that he walked in came on you. And your sin, when he was on that cross, ended up on him. This is a transaction that God himself did. The Bible says that if they would have known what he was doing, they would have never crucified him. Is that right? Oh, but this was his way.
Right.
His ways are above our ways. He transacted all your sins onto his son. Folks, that's a beautiful thing. That is a wonderful thing. And he took the righteousness of the law, which Jesus fulfilled. Is that right? Jesus fulfilled the law. That righteousness, how many know the law is righteous? Thou shalt not steal. All those things are righteous. Those are good things.
Yes.
But man couldn't keep it because of the weakness of the flesh, is what it says.
Yep.
So Jesus died for you, and all that righteousness that Christ had on him,
yes,
came on you. Can I tell you, that's a better covenant. That's a better covenant. This is law versus law. Which law do you want to walk in? Which law do you want to talk in? Which law are you comfortable in? Get comfortable in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Can I keep reading here? It says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Can you say amen? So, folks, and I will tell you, it is something that grows in you. It's not a process. I'm not one that believes in processes. I am one that believes in growth. Learning to hear the Lord, learning to walk in the Lord is a matter of growth. You stay in the Word of God. And all of a sudden, there might be some thought that crosses your mind about your neighbor or something, how God wants you to go polish your car. If you heed those things, if you listen to those things, maybe it's just, hey, pick up the dog poop that's in their yard. Dogs stop there all the time and poop on their yard. Maybe you don't have a dog, but God says, go clean that yard. And it starts with little things like that. Can I tell you, the little things are very important to God? Those little tiny things. If you have faith as a mustard seed. No, it doesn't say as a mustard seed. It says as a grain of mustard seed. Bust the mustard seed and look at the little tiny grains that are in there. That's what he said. That's how small it is. Little things are important to God. And when he says something little to you, hey, it's going to turn out to be a big thing. Is that okay? Is that all right?
Amen. Mm.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, and then it says, Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it's like an enemy. For it's not subject to the law of God. What law is he talking about? The law of the Spirit. So the law is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. How many of you have been in the flesh this week? I might have been. Tuesday I was listening to what's her name? I was like, get out of here, lady. You don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Yes.
This is a fact. This is what God is saying to you. You are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. He's telling you something. You're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Is that all right?
Yes.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, I like this part. The body is dead. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Yes.
Come on, man. Check this out. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Is that what it says?
Yep.
But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you're going to live. Is that right? See, this law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has no death in it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It doesn't say that, does it? It says it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Woo, come on, sons of God. Hallelujah. God, I love this stuff. I love the Word. How many love the Word of God? We're in the, I love thy law, Lord. I love it. In your Word, Lord, you have made me wiser than my teachers, is what David said. Ooh, come on, man. Because he valued the law. It's better than rubies and treasures. It is a treasure, the Word of God is. Can you say amen to that? Look what he's doing in this. Hallelujah. I'm going to just throw in, you know, where it said, you are dead. How many say amen to that?
Yes.
You are dead.
Amen.
Romans 7:1 is kind of kind of the scripture I felt the Lord giving me to be kind of our power scene. It says this, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Is that a truth? It absolutely is. The law has dominion over you as long as you live. What law is he talking about? He's talking about the Mosaic law. It has dominion over you as long as you live. There's another part in here where you're going to see that if a woman is married to a man and he dies, she is released so that she can go out and find somebody else.
Yes.
You'll read that in Romans chapter 7. He's describing what God does with this law. It says, the law has dominion over you, right? Know you not, brethren, or I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. But you see, the day you gave your life to Jesus, you died. That is a fact. That is more than a fact. It is a truth that you died. Is that okay?
Yes. Amen.
So that law of the Spirit of Mosaic law has no more dominion over you because Jesus fulfilled it, and that law is within you. The righteousness of the law is within you. Watch this scripture. Romans chapter 7 has always kind of thrown folks off, but I'm telling you, I love it. I love it because it takes you right into chapter 8, and it describes the Spirit and the law. But I want you to look at verse 6 here in Romans chapter 7, verse 6 says, "Now we are delivered from the law." Everybody say that. We're delivered from that law. He's talking about the Mosaic law. "That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Do you understand that?
Yes.
Whoo. So what did that guy step into? That one leper, the one that came back.
Yes.
How did he step into that? How did it happen that Jesus looked at him and said, "Bro, hey, go your way"? How did that happen? It was a heart function. It was, I got it written down as a heart reaction. When he came back to the Lord, he began to worship with a loud voice and thank the Lord. Thanksgiving. You know how important it is to thank him? Woo, hallelujah. It's a heart reaction to what God has done, or the word of God. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. This is what Jesus, how many know that Jesus is our example? That we should, if you want to know how to do things, look at Jesus. People have told me a lot of stuff about how to be a pastor in a church. Is that okay? How many of you guys are all right with that? People have a lot of opinions. Is that right? But God keeps telling me, just watch my son. Watch my son. I want you to know how many altar calls did Jesus do? Didn't do very many. How long did it take him to get a demon out of a person? Not very long. Didn't take a half hour, didn't take 2 hour service. It was just boom, bam, whoo. Look at Jesus. See how he does things. It's important that we understand that it is him dwelling in us. Do you say him in your skin?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Him in your skin.
Him in your skin.
Amen.
Ooh. When Jesus heard of it, he departed there by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Folks were following Jesus everywhere. And it says this, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." See, Jesus, when he looked at it, he was filled with compassion. Can I tell you, this is a function of the Spirit that a lot of times, how many of you have ever looked at somebody and you just all of a sudden you got this, you felt sorry for them, or you wanted to help them, or how many of you have ever gone through that? See, that is a leading of the Holy Ghost. That's how he'll lead you. Don't just go out there and hand dollar bills to everybody that you see on the street. Let him lead you. See, because we're designed to be led by the Spirit. And a lot of times we don't understand it's the Spirit. My wife, we're sitting at a stoplight, and there's a guy there. And then next thing I know, she's rolling down her window. I go, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I feel like the Lord wants me to give him something." Gave him some money, light turned green, and boom, we're off. Lord, let that, I don't know what she gave him. I think it was, might have been a $1,000 bill. I don't know. I don't know what she gave him, but I said, "Lord, let that speak to him somehow, some way." But her compassion pushed her to open, roll down the window and give that. Folks, if we look at that, those things, see, those are heart issues. It's not your mind. Your mind would say, "Man, they're always there. They're always asking for money right there. I hate to say them right there." It's what your mind might say. But your heart says, "Give them some money." Okay. Ooh. Heart issues. This is how that man kept from having to go through all that, because the great high priest, he went back and worshiped. Here's another one. He says, it says, First Samuel 24, verses 5 and 6. Do you remember where? David's being chased by Saul, and he goes into a cave, and Saul goes in there to relieve himself, and he goes in, and while he's there, David's men, they say, "Look, God has delivered him into your hands. Your enemy is sitting right there," and they wanted to destroy him. They said, "Hey, just give the word, man, and it's all over. Yep. You will not have any problems from now on." But David said, no. And the Bible says it came to pass afterward that he went and he cut a little piece off of his robe. And when he did that, David's heart smote him. How many's ever had your heart smote you? Nobody? My wife raises her hand. I remember talking to my wife in a certain tone. You guys didn't get it. And immediately I walked away, and the Lord said, "Go apologize to her." Oh my God, you're right, Lord. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I listened to that voice, because it could have been a real separation for a while. Can you say amen to that? See, we are led by the Spirit, folks. We need to obey that Spirit. And this is what David, when his heart smote him, what did he do? He followed Saul out of the cave. It came to pass afterwards that David's heart smote him, that because he had cut off Saul's skirt, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." Listen to what he says. It says, "To stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he's the anointed of the Lord." How many times did he call him his enemy? Not a one time. He looked at him with respect for who he was, what God had done in his life. And he said, "Man," and he followed him out of that cave, and Saul didn't even know he was there. And he gets down on his hands and knees, and he says, "Man, why are you following me? I've got nothing against you. My men wanted to kill you." And then Saul realized something about this guy, because God was teaching him. Can you say amen to that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. It is a fool's thing to stand before his enemy and get on your knees, face looking at the ground. In this world, people don't do that. But in the spiritual world, it's a reality. God watches over. Amen? One more. Chapter 20, verses 29 through 34 says this: "And they departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed them. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. And when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace." Hey, be quiet. Be quiet. You don't need to be talking. I mean, "But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do to you?' And they said unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight, and they followed him." Do you see where it says Jesus had compassion on them? It wasn't that Jesus, because I believe he was. He's very compassionate on us. Can you say amen? The whole world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But at that moment, these guys, compassion, and Jesus healed them. Can I tell you that compassion is a leader? It's the Holy Spirit. He's leading you. He's leading you, all right? Come on, hallelujah. I was driving down the road when I was going home. And while I was driving down I-19, I saw this big puff of smoke. I go, "Whoa, what's that?" And as I got close to my exit, there's a car on the side of the road, and there's a heading north on the frontage road. And when I saw, I looked over it, and I saw, as it looks like this little old man out there with his hood open, looking at his car, stinks smoking. And I go, "Oh boy." And I started to get, and at that time, there was not a traffic circle there. It was just a stop sign. You know, guys, if you go to my house, there's a, you come off the freeway on Canoa Road, and there's a traffic, there's kind of a, what they call it, roundabout. But it wasn't there then. It was just a stop sign, and the frontage road was right there. Well, I got down there, and I felt compassion for that guy. What if this was my dad on the side of the road, you know, or whatever? I didn't really. So I went ahead and went on up the road, went back up that frontage road, pulled in behind him, which was, and I asked him, what's going on? And when we looked, there really was no reason to have a big puff of smoke. The fan belt was off. And I looked at him, you just need a fan belt, man. All right. So I said, hey, let me take you. So I took him back into Green Valley. We bought him a fan belt, come back. I had some tools. I put the fan belt on. And he was saying, thank you, very, very nice gentleman. Thank you very much, you know. You get that when you do something like that from somebody. Is that right? Yeah. You feel good about doing something like that? Yeah. I said, all right, yeah, no problem, man. And I fired up my truck. He got in his car. I started it up and my truck, and I had to turn around. When I turned around, I looked, that, and I could see a long way down the road. That car was gone, totally vanished. I looked, I go, what? Where did he go? I thought he might have gone down in the ditch or something. I'm looking, I couldn't see his car. I really do believe, folks, that that was something that God did for me. Yes. You know, the Bible says sometimes we entertain angels unaware. Yes. Sometimes angels need their car fixed. Is that right? Sometimes, you know, sometimes all they need is a fan belt. You know, come on, man. But folks, the thing is that, compassion led me. And I saw something I never saw before. I said, Lord, what was that all about? Lord, where'd he go? I don't know. God never said anything to me, but I do know that it was teaching me. It was teaching me. Folks, I don't give unless I sense the Holy Spirit saying, yeah. Is that okay? Because that's who we are, to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Can you stand up? Let's pray. I'm going to let you go home. Hallelujah. How many say, yeah, come on, let's go home. I'm ready. How many want to go home? How many sleep after church? Anybody? My wife and I, we go to sleep. Yeah, we go home. I like to sleep. Anybody like to sleep? No. Come on, man. Yeah. I especially like to sleep after I eat. Yeah. Anybody? How many of you are excited about Thanksgiving coming up? Yeah. Come on, man. Woo! Folks, give turkey. Give thanks. But like that gentleman, that guy, when he turned around and he saw what God had done for him. Folks, we are that leper. He has done so much for us. He deserves our thanks and our praise. He deserves our whole being worshiping him and telling him thanks. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to build and strengthen them. Father, it's not our work. It's your work. It is what you do, Father. You build your children. You command their strength. You give them out of your hand to eat, Father. So I thank you for that, and I praise you for it. Lord, as they go out, Lord, let them be a light, a bright light in our community, Father. And I thank you for that, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Say this. Him in your skin. Say that to your neighbor. Him in your skin. Come on. Praise God. Have a great week. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.